Hello and welcome to the Three White No Cover Melbourne Cup special. This is going to be an absolute fantastic program. Runner by runner in the Melbourne Cup. The stars are there, the horses, the trainers, the jockeys, they're all stars. But these men that join me today, 16-time Group 1 winning jockey, Simon Marshall.
G'day, Brownie. Julesy, great to be here. The great race is upon us. And unbelievable this year. The field goes deep, and I'm sure there's 10 to 11 genuine chances, Julesy, which we'll dissect and deep dive into.
And they talk about form. They talk about analysts. This man is the Tom Brady of form. Just have a look at him. Julian Valance.
He's going terrible at his new joint, isn't he, Tom Brady? I don't really know about it.
The Buccaneers. He'll bounce back.
It is a great race. As SD said, there's going to be plenty of chances. But for the punters out there, this is just its own beast in terms of the Melbourne Cup. Yes, you've got the race at 3 o'clock. It stops the nation. But the space that I sort of work in, this market is always just so, so interesting. The moves you'll see. You'll see horses on the tote that'll be much shorter than what their fixed price is. And you'll be able to identify those horses. Horses that mums and dads have seen in a couple of years, like Prince of Arran's ran second and third in this race last year and 2 years ago. He'll be popular. He'll be shorter the totes. Russian Camelot, Surprise Baby, all those horses the mums and dads love, they'll be shorter the totes than their fixed odds prices. And a lot of these internationals, they'll be much bigger on the tote. The market is very, very interesting. There'll be plenty of action all throughout probably Monday night and then obviously getting up to Tuesday. But then the last 5 minutes, then the market really heats up with these big sharks and you see a wild show usually.
Yeah, absolutely, Brandy. It's a big build-up. It's just like a mate of ours that gave us a pep-up talk prior to Derby Day. That's it right there, folks. If that doesn't get you up and out of bed, nothing will. But conditions are going to be rock hard too. Julesy's going to get into that. Rail comes out too. But we're going to be on a pretty firm surface, so that'll make things interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty warm, 28, 29 degrees. Let's have a look at the market as it stands for the Melbourne Cup. And Tiger Moth is the favourite at $7.50. Anthony Van Dyke ran so well last start, $8.50. Surprise Baby, good last year at $9. Sir Dragon A at $10. Very Elegant, $11, along with Prince of Arran. Russian Camelot's in there. Finch at $18. Then you've got Ashrun that won on Derby Day at $20 over the page. Master Reality, a lot of punters giving that a chance. $21. Twilight Payment at $23. Steel Prince, $35. The Chosen One's there. Miami Bound won at the Wet a couple of weeks back. Stratum Albion, these are getting big prices to King Allegrance and Warning at $46. And then the last few are Avilius, Val and Declare, last year's winner at a big price, Ocean X, Dashing Willoughby and Etta James and Mustajia round out.
You can just see on that last little graphic there we see with those horses at the big price of $67, $81, $81, $91. Their true price is much bigger than that, but what you see with the Melbourne Cup, as I stated, it's its own beast. You're never going to have these horses at 300-1 fixed odds. Now, the reason because of that is because there's so much volume in this market. The Corps and all those kinds of places, they don't want a horse at 100s or 200s because everyone's going to be backing them. They're going to have liabilities for 10 million plus. Mm. So they all get knocked off around the joint, and you see these horses that should be 300 to 1 and 200 to 1, they go around at 80 to 1. That's just this kind of market, how this race is, and we'll see it again with the Melbourne Cup this year because you've got horses at 81, 90 to 1. I'm telling you, I've marked them 500s and that's probably still unders.
Big 500s, okay. Let's get straight in to the Melbourne Cup track map. So important, Julian Valance.
Yeah, so as SD mentioned, we're out 2 metres. We're on the good 4. We were actually upgraded to good 3 on Saturday Derby Day. We're in the true. Now, it was a southerly wind on Derby Day. That changes now to a northerly wind. So that's actually across them from the straight. So it'll be a headwind into that sweeping turn. So that might be just have a little bit of impact on leaders. Now, here's our stats that we go off at Sportsbet that can try and give us a guide of what's happened in the past. Leaders only win at 12%. Now, we know the Australian average is 21%, so it's a little bit below, but you're still winning at 12%. It's still a good enough strike rate. If you're good enough, you can lead on this track and win. But then as we go down, there's no real lanes or anything at Flemington in these kinds of conditions. Liam's done a fantastic job with this track. He's been doing it for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's outstanding. There's no real place I can push you into that's going to be a high percentage play. They're all going to be pretty even across. It's just going to be best horse wins the race, I think. So it sets up outstandingly. I will be interested in to see how much irrigation Liam has to put on the track because we got really drying conditions on Monday. We're expecting 29 degrees with a northerly wind on Tuesday. If he doesn't put any on, we're going to be into a good two track because we know how firm this can get.
Well, he's got to start at a good four. They're the regulations.
Yeah, that's right. So he starts on a good four. So he puts on irrigation Monday night, however much he needs to get into that good four. We start on a good four, and then it's just how quickly this track dries, and we know it dries out. They'll be on a good three by this race. You're going to need some horses that really appreciate a dry deck.
So before we get into the runner by runner, with it being so hot, 28, 29, the northerly, maybe a good three, maybe a good two, is there anything that you've looked at straight away that just says, I don't think this can win because of the good track, or is anything that you think firms in on a good track?
I will say, I think for this race, if you want to bet into this race, you've got to be brave or stupid, as I've mentioned before, because you have to take a set against really good horses. And I'm going to speak about those horses as we get through the numbers, but there's really good horses here that I'm saying, I don't think it can win. Now, of course it can win because it's an absolute really good horse, but you've just got to take a set against them, because if you don't, you're going to end up having 15 selections and you just might as well not play in the race. I love playing into this race. I reckon it's got great value with so much liquidity and volume in the market. So I want to play into it, which means you've got to take a set against good horses.
All right, let's get into the runner by runner. Number one, first up, Anthony Van Dyke. SD, you're going to take a look at this. $8.50 and $2.90 the place.
Yeah, he's a very good horse. His rating suggests that. One of the best we've had here in Australia. His run in the Caulfield Cup was outstanding. I like the way tactically he was able to get around Caulfield, carry the top weight. He powered to the line. Condition suited very elegant on that occasion with the soft track. We know he's beaten Stradivarius over 2,400 metres. That's world-class form, staying form at Group 2 level. I think he lands closer from gate 3. Hugh Bowman's a heavyweight jockey, so he's going to carry no dead weight in a Melbourne Cup. And it's his to win, the 5-year-old stallion. I think he's just going to get a charmed run. I can see him 2 to 3 pairs back with cover, one off a fence. And it'll just be where he gets the breaks at the top of the straight. But the horses that he can be following into the straight are the likes of Twilight Payment, Master Reality, Finch can let him out, Prince of Arran will be up on speed, and he'll be just sitting back on the paint following those type of horses. So if you like Anthony Van Dyke and the drier track too, he absolutely love it. So it's advantage him up against Very Elegant in the Melbourne Cup over 32.
Number two is Avilius. Avilius is at $51.13 at the moment, Jules.
Yeah, we know him pretty well. He's been around the block a fair bit, Avilius, and he was really unlucky in the Caulfield Cup. I mean, he probably runs third, I think. Even he was held up in the straight there. He was at $31 behind Very Elegant, didn't have much luck, but it was a race to show that he's going really well. The camp have done a great job with him. I think he's better on a soft track. For that reason, I've marked him $61, and I'd be surprised if he won it. I think if there was given the track, yeah, he'd be a live chance. But I just think his best now is on a soft track. He ran third in the autumn behind Very Elegant as well in the Tancred, and again, that was on a soft track. I think he needs wet conditions. He's not going to get it. I'm against him.
Last year's winner, Vow and Declare, hasn't quite had the lead-up it did last year into winning this SD, but you'd have to give it a chance.
Yeah, well, he's had the unusual preparation where he was run over the autumn. He's had a light preparation there. He didn't really come up. And then he jumps from 52 to 57. Is he going better this year? Probably not when you look at it, but he's had a couple of issues. Horse broke down in one of his lead-up runs where he got tangled up in that. I can forgive him for that. I think he's going well enough from his inside barrier to finish top 10. Does he get into your multiples, first fours, trifectas, all those sort of things? Probably not going that well. But from gate 4, he will land in the first four, the 5 to 6, rolling out of the straight the first time. And you know he can run 3,200 metres. He's not hopeless, but I haven't got him in my first four.
It's a big price for a horse that's won up before.
It is. But the jump in weight, Julesy, I don't think he's going well enough.
Yeah, that's the key. 52 to 57, and he's got to now take on the horse that he was last year. And I think that's the hardest bit for these kinds of horses that get up in the weight. There's the new breed that come through and they're ready to knock you off.
Because your average punter looks at that and thinks $51 for Fiona Clare won last year, but the 5 kilos makes that much of a difference.
Absolutely. And the other point is that's why the horse is $51 instead of $200, because in essence, you looked at his form just isolated his last 3 or 4 runs, you'd say he's got absolutely no hope and he should be 100 to 1. But as you say, people look at it and go, we won it last year, so they put money on. Sure.
And Brandy, and Julesy, history will tell you, when they win it, they come back and run it the following year, they find it hard. Yeah. They find it hard with the weight increase.
We've got to be a freak and probably a mayor called Mackay Diva to really have any hope.
Yeah, well, premiership hangover, eh? Wish I had one of them. Now, number four, Master of Reality. Jules, you're giving it a hope.
Sure, absolutely. He's definitely in my top four. I'll be backing him on the day. Marked him around that $17, $18 mark. So the price he is at the moment, I think I have to have something on. He ran second in this race last year. Obviously got relegated to fourth when Frankie decided to play bump-em cars. He carried 55.5 in it last year. He only has to go up half a kilo to 56. He's a horse that I've got this race having genuine speed in the race, but we have seen it before in last year's Cup. There was the race became really slowly run around the back. If that happens again and Malum can sit in the first four with this horse, he is going to be mighty hard to get past. We've seen it before. Great camp. He just can't pot this camp. It's a sensational camp, the Lloyd Williams camp, and he comes here a winner. I love these internationals that come here just about in peak form. He wins a listed race over 2,800. He's clearly been set for the race again. Got to have something on because you know he's going to be honest and run really well. I will say he's got synthetic hoof filler on for the first time. Market just doesn't take a set against that. So I know a lot of people will be turned off. Don't be. We've seen horses in the past. In Her Time won a Lightning. Viridine won plenty of races, I think, with it. And the market doesn't take a set. I know Farnan failed on Saturday, but the market didn't take a set against him with synthetic hoof filler as well. So Master of Reality, he's right in the mix.
So Dragonair is up next. Huge winner last start into $10 for the Murrin Eustace stable.
It's not a bad gallop out, is it? Winning a Cox Plate on your way to a Melbourne Cup. He liked the juice in the track. It was a beautiful ride by Glenn Boss. But what I take for him going into a Melbourne Cup is his Derby Stakes run over the 2,400 metres and his St. Ledger run over 2,900 metres. He has got the stamina and the capacity. And what I love about his preparation under Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace is he's actually adapted really well to Australian conditions and taken it on, everything they've thrown at him. He's been to a beach for a first time this time in and he's absolutely bounced off it and won a Cox Plate going into a Melbourne Cup, which is his target, the five-year-old stallion. Glenn Boss, well, you're not going to get a more confident jockey than Glenn Boss to ride him from gate 14 to sit midfield, find a hind quarter, switch him off. He's just on the way up. He's on the way up. He's going to run the trip. His weight's good and he's peaking for the run. So he's going to be dangerous.
Horse number six is Twilight Payment for O'Brien, $23 and $6.50.
He's a really interesting horse. Now, I found him really difficult to assess because if you look at his European form, and especially you can put a correlation to Master of Reality, these horses I think met two starts ago. Twilight Payment gave him an absolute toweling. And started at $1.55, so had the SP over him, all the factors you want to look at when you do your form. And yet we saw him here last year. I think he ran 13th or 14th. He failed, and he started 40-1, and he was disappointing. He was just so tricky. I've marked him around $31. I think there was 50s out earlier this week, but I can't entertain him now. His European form's good enough to win the race.
It's going better this year
The
looks of it.
Absolutely. It's outstanding, but I look back on it that he was here last year. He started 40s. He was disappointing. I can't really entertain him. But the European form, especially if you just match it straight to Master of Reality, he's right there.
You beat him two starts back.
Correct. Yeah. But I'm taking him on. I've marked him, I said $34. That 23 looks a bit skinny for me at the moment.
Horse number seven is Very Elegant, and I'd imagine this would be very popular with a lot of the mums and dad punters.
Yeah, well, she's always popular because she very rarely lets you down, and Chris Waller, his whole preparation has been leading towards running her in a Caulfield Melbourne Cup. She becomes Chris Waller's first Caulfield Cup winner as a trainer, winning that race. It was a beautiful ride. She drew out a little bit, and she was able to get cover. She can be a twerky mare to ride, but Zara's just getting along with her so well, and it was a perfect ride for her. She was able to poke out down the side of the 900-metre mark, 3, 4, 5 deep, wait. She has this acceleration, and she's able to harness that at any stage when she's in the clear and she's had a good run in transit. Don't be too deterred on the hard, fast track. Yes, she becomes elite on a soft track, but she won her ATC Oaks on a good track, and she won the Turnbull on a good three. She's just in the best vein of form and she's ready to go. Look, she hasn't ticked the 3,200 metre box, but what we do know is she's got an unbelievable set of lungs. When it came to the fight in the Caulfield Cup, she was holding Anthony Van Dyke right on the line. She goes up half a kilo. She draws 15. Three deep cover with her will suit her. She'll look the winner at some stage for sure, Very Elegant. I couldn't talk you out of having a bet on her.
Number eight is Mustajir at a pretty big price at $91, Jules.
Yeah, ran eighth in the Caulfield Cup. Not a bad run on a soft track. Was 100-1 in that. I've marked him 90s in this, so I think, as you said, he's around, what price is he?
91.
Yeah, so he's around that price. Look, I think he can run well, but I know he, I think, SD, you said he won an Ebor 2 years ago on a dry track. Just all the numbers he's done in Australia has been better on a soft track, so he might still appreciate this dry track. He ran fifth in a Sydney Cup. Is that good enough form to win a Melbourne Cup? Probably not. I'm against him.
He'll stay all day. I spoke to Chrissy Lees. We've got a horse with him, which we scratched the other day, and he said a firm turf track will suit our horse no problem. And drawn low, he'll get a nice run. He'll run the trip. But, yeah, he's a big price, and he should be.
Stratum Albion's next up, $46. First run in Australia, SD.
This horse will stay all day, Brownie. Excuse me. He'll stay all day. We know he's had a set of hurdles in front of him beforehand or whatnot, but look, he was second over 3,270 metres in the to Enbahar. That's really good form. That stacks up with a lot of these stayers here. And now he draws nine. He's one of those flukers that you scratch your head with and you just think, with 55.5, with that, will he get left flat-footed at some stage? He's going to need everything go right and maybe some really good stamina into the race from the 900 to the 800. If it's a sit and sprint affair, it will bring him undone.
Dashing Willoughby, big price, $81, last in the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, and that's the real worrying factor, that he was at only $26 or $31 in the Caulfield Cup, so the market wasn't completely against him there, but he was beyond poor, to be honest. And speaking to SD, I said, not many horses run so poorly and then come out and run top three in a Melbourne Cup, and for that reason I'm against him. His European form is outstanding. Time form 120. With this kind of weight, 54.5, he would be an active player. I just can't forgive last start. And I know there could be reasons for it and you can get that back. I just haven't seen a Melbourne Cup winner go so poorly the start before.
Yeah, Michael Walker stated, look, he's breeze up after the Caulfield Cup. The horse is back on track and all that sort of stuff, but I'm tipping if Mick Walker could jump off and land on Prince of Arran, he would if he could take his time again. So it was too poor of a run to be backing him. But once again, that Enbahar form, he wasn't far off Enbahar, so he can draw a line through him if you happen to like the likes of Stratum Albion.
Finch is well in the market at $18. James McDonald on board.
Yeah, Finch is terrific. He's had a couple of gallops in this race. He was three deep, no cover, and worked like a Trojan, beaten 3.8 lengths a couple of years ago. Last year, he was only beaten less than two lengths. He's a genuine 3,200-metre horse that's in a great vein of form. And look, he's runs this time in, he's going just as good, I think. J-Mac from gate six, he doesn't have to do any work or worry about Finch rolling out of the straight the first time, apart from giving that little bit of extra room so they don't chop him off, chop his nose off, those horses getting across from their outside barriers and coming back in his lap. He's in a great vein of form. And once again, he'll be one of these horses that'll start pouring the pressure on from about the 700-metre mark. And he'll look the winner at some stage because he lands on speed and he's that style of horse. And he's bloody genuine. So you can't knock him for an each-way play on Finch if you like him.
Well, speaking of consistency, Prince of Arran. Every time Prince of Arran runs, Jules, it seems like you're in the market. And if you're on him, you're a huge chance.
He's just a beauty and he's probably runs his best in Australia, to be honest. He's run second and third in the previous two Melbourne Cups. And every time he just, as you say, he's just so consistent and you know what you're going to get. There's a couple of things with Prince of Arran. Now, I think it's been well documented that second up both times in Australia, his previous years, he's won both times. So 2 years ago, he won the Hotham to get into the Melbourne Cup. Last year, he won the Geelong Cup second up to get into the Melbourne Cup. Well, now he's going to be second up in the Melbourne Cup. So to keep that record alive, he's got to win the biggest race in Australia. But he comes here with an outstanding performance, I thought, in the Caulfield Cup where he ran fourth. Yeah. In essence, they drew wide and decided, you know what, this is not our grand final, so we're not going to burn early. We're just going to go back, take the medicine and then let him finish off. We finished off sensationally, I thought, in the Caulfield Cup. From gate one, a lot of people saying this is an outstanding barrier for Jamie. It's good. I'm going to not say it's terrible, but she's going to have to show some intent early because if she doesn't, she's going to end up three or four back the rails and I don't think she will want that. So I think she'll show intent. I think she'd love if you said, where do you want to be at the first corner? Leaders back, which means she's going to have to push out a little bit, which means then these other horses wide will create a bit of a genuine speed. Gets its chance. I'll be backing it on the day. It can definitely win.
One of my favourite moments earlier on this year was when Surprise Baby won and Matty Hill called it down the outside. He said, here comes the baby SD. I reckon that's his perfect setup if this comes home.
He was the horse that opened up favourite after last year's Melbourne Cup, I think, Julesy, on the books with Sportsbet because of his unlucky run. They went slow, Brownie. Tactically, it didn't suit him, but just watch that last furlong and there was no horse powering to the line better than Surprise Baby from the tail. He drew out in 20 last year. He's had a similar preparation this year. He was super in the Fiend first up. Now, I expected him to look flat-footed second up at Flemington at that distance in his second run, and he was, and he did. But you watch the piece of footage of Craig Williams' helmet cam. He went three laps around his local track. He's had a beautiful preparation. He's got 53.5, and the key for me this year is he draws seven, so he can be two to three pairs closer and midfield, and he'll just need clear running. Clear running from the 700-metre mark, Surprise Baby. Spoiler alert, he's in my top four for sure, and I'll tell you where I've got him. But he's in a great vein of form. I'm backing the team in. Williams has been down there riding him track work the entire preparation, making sure this horse is ticking over really well. He's a genuine chance in the Melbourne Cup this year.
That's exciting to hear, Surprise Baby. $46 for King of Legrons, third in the Geelong Cup, just behind Steel Prince.
Yeah, he probably needed to do that performance in the Geelong Cup because his first up performance in the Turnbull when he was first up was nothing short of dismal. Just couldn't really get moving. He was out the back and just sort of stayed there. He gives me the vibe of what Surprise Baby was last year. Came through the Adelaide Cup, tried to get through that race at Ocean X, sort of beat him where he was a short price favourite. He's got a big figure at Flemington over this kind of distances, you know, 2800. If he was going a little bit better, he'd definitely be in the mix. I just don't know if he's going as well as what he was around that Adelaide Cup time. Those kinds of figures would put him in. His Geelong Cup run was better, but from gate 18, he's got to go back. I think there's better horses around him that are drawn sort of similar that have got a better turn of foot. I'd be surprised if he
was 21 bucks 6 weeks ago, didn't he? Now out to 46.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a horse that, as I said, I thought he was the new probably Surprise Baby. He was the one, the up-and-comer that could be the Australian stayer that could, you know, sort of fight off these internationals. But I think his two runs this prep, as I say, the Geelong Cup was better, but it's got to be much better to be winning a Melbourne Cup.
It smells of a sense of timing if he wants him to peak over 3,200 because he did peak in the Geelong Cup. But he was out there to have a good hit out there, and you have a look at that race. But does that rate better, the Geelong Cup going into a Melbourne Cup this year against a deeper field? On with Julesy, there's a question mark.
The next runner is Russian Camelot. I don't think there's been any more spoken about this than any other horse in the Melbourne Cup this year. Came third, obviously, last week. Now it's at $12 SD.
He is. He's a fantastic horse to try and fit into the mould of these genuine 3,200-metre horses because he's got to run it for the first time. He's had a terrific weight-for-age preparation off coming off that South Australia Derby win where he sat. He was ridden cold in that race. He was 3 and 4 deep from the 900-metre mark and he just outstayed them with a bit of credit in the bank. And we thought, wow, Melbourne Cup. But has it come all too soon for him? He's still a little bit ring rusty in terms of that he doesn't quite settle well enough. They've been riding him on speed to teach him to settle and get these Ks in his legs. But in doing that, he's been able to win a Group 1 level at Wayfair Age coming along. I thought his run in the Cox Plate was very good. It was sound. He only goes down a length and three quarters behind the likes of Sir Dragon A. But he's got to carry 53.5 to a genuine horse like Surprise Baby at 53.5, who's proven over 3,200 and you know can jump, settle, relax and run a good, strong 3,200. I'm hoping that they ride him quiet and get him to switch right off because if they can, they can then save that turn of foot and electricity that we saw in a South Australia Derby where he absolutely outstayed them. They've been riding him close and he's just been very dour. Acadia Queen was too strong. The likes of Armoury, Sir Dragon A were too strong for him over 2,040 metres. I think the dry deck is another question mark with him. If it dries out to a good three for a young horse like him with 53.5 kilos, I'm worried for him. I'm not too worried about the preparation that he's had and the ability there, but it just might be too new. I'm thinking maybe next year for a Russian Camelot.
I just want to talk about Russian Camelot. this prep, if you were to say a horse is $1.45 wins an Underwood Stakes, these are Group 1 weight for age races, then goes to $1.50, is $1.55 in a Caulfield Stakes, gets beaten, you know, half a neck or something, and then goes and runs in our premier weight for age race at 2,000 metres, starts 5-2 or $3.50 and runs third in it, he's probably going to start, what, $3 or $4 in a Melbourne Cup? That's how strong this Melbourne Cup is, that this horse is double figures. Now, that's not giving an opinion on whether the horse can win or not. Just you can put that down in basic facts that every year you see that, you'd think the horse would be much shorter. That's just the kind of field we've got this year.
Good insight from the boys so far. Number 16, Steel Prince, $35. Willie Pike on board.
He is going so well this prep, like outstanding. Bart Cummings, two starts ago, he was huge. It was a wide gate and he still just about won the race. Then they went, well, we now got to go to the Geelong Cup to try and get in, and I thought he again was outstanding. I will say the Geelong Cup didn't rate that highly, so I probably wanted him to go a little bit better than that if I thought he was a major player in a Melbourne Cup. I will say that he's just going absolutely outstanding. Well done to the team to get him back. I'd be surprised he won. I've marked him $46. He's a horse that I think probably going to run a really good top 10. If you can get in those top 10 markets, I expect him because he is just so honest and he's going so well. I don't think he can finish in the top three.
He's only 2.1 lengths off that Melbourne Cup field last year and they went slow. He just has a tendency just to get on the chewy and over race a little bit. He's just such a genuine racehorse. If there can be enough genuine tempo for him and he can relax a bit better, he might be able to finish a little bit closer. You can trust him, but do you want to put him in your top four?
Donald Trump last week said he was the chosen one. Now the chosen one is a big price. Is Daniel Stackhouse the chosen one?
Yeah, he flopped in it last year, the chosen one. So he's had a go at the 3,200 metres. A lot of punters like to see that they've had a go over the trip. Look, he's come back this preparation winning over 1,700 metres, which was terrific. I thought he could be tough to beat or be handy in a way for age race after that. He was left flat-footed. He's a handicap horse. His run in the Caulfield Cup was out of his skin. Was that his birthday? Maybe, I'm thinking, yes. He's got to repeat that and go to a peak level to win a Melbourne Cup. So I haven't got him in, but, geez, he's a five-year-old stallion. It'd be a huge thrill for Daniel Stackhouse, who rode him an absolute treat in a Caulfield Cup.
Number 18, Ashrun, won on the weekend on Derby Day, gets into the Melbourne Cup. And, Jules, from, like, a punting perspective, I mean, horses backing up that quickly can you explain that?
Well, you got to do it, don't you? I mean, you got no other alternative. I will say that horses backing up, I think the last one to win it was shocking, but they usually run well. You've got horses like Sign Off, who ran fourth in it behind Protectionist. You've got other horses, Prince of Arran a couple of years ago, obviously won the Hotham and then ran really well in it. It's tricky, and then you've got some horses that just don't back up, especially these internationals, like Downdraft didn't get through it. Oceanographer was an outstanding winner of the Hotham probably 3 or 4 years ago, and everyone, I think he started $9 in a Melbourne Cup. He just completely flopped because he just didn't handle that backup. So you got to take Andreas Waller on trust that the horse will be able to handle the backup. Now, the guy knows it. I mean, he did train Protectionist, and it won by about 3 or 4 lengths when he came and won. So you trust the trainer to be able to get him to back up within that 3 days, Nate. He's a life chance. His time form's 119, the weight 53 kilos. I'm not worried about gate 24. What I am worried about with this horse is he needs a generally run race. So if it's a generally fast tempo, he's very much a grinding stayer that'll just keep going and going and going. He won't run a 10-3 for you, but he'll run maybe 4 or 5 10-9s and it might get you over the line. If there's speed on, he can win the race. I'll be backing him. I thought his performance on Saturday was outstanding. Yeah, and right in the mix.
Just on that, it was only a small field and it wasn't a gut-busting run in a Hotham. He was getting held up inside the 400-metre mark and Kerry McAvoy had to switch across hills. So he's just galloped 300 metres and had a really good breeze up for it. So he'll back up all right. He'll be like a cross counter. He'll go back to last. He'll watch it all unfold and he'll be bursting out of the pack late.
With that too, just on that 3-day backup, as SD said, you just more or less had to sprint that last 600 or 400 metres. That is the beautiful profile now going into the Melbourne Cup that you can just go that hasn't had the hard run, wasn't inside standard time by too much. Yeah, it sets up really well for him.
Big raps on Ashron after winning on Derby Day. Now, warning, drifted from 31 out to 46. I know that because 2 weeks ago I had a bonus bet at the 31s on warning and should have waited, SD.
Yes, unfortunately he's been vetted also during the week. Not everything's been perfect for a preparation going into a Melbourne Cup. He was disappointing in a Caulfield Cup when there was some heat on him. A lot of punters thought he would run super in a Caulfield Cup off his weight for age or his set weights and penalties run leading into that race. When horses have a little slight interruption going into their race and didn't run well in a Caulfield Cup, I've got to knock that form. Good luck to the connections, but 31's out to 15s and there's a reason for it.
Edda James, a pretty big price, $91 fourth to Miami Bound last time out.
Yeah, it was, and that was not a bad performance. Three runs ago, so sort of lightly horse stay. You don't see these too often, but doesn't have a lot of runs in its prep. Three runs ago, it did win the Sydney Cup. Now, that was on a wet track, and I think its best performances are on soft going, so not going to get the conditions to suit. But very importantly, this horse, drawn gate 22, I think it's maybe one of the influences of the speed. I think they have to roll forward. Its best chance to finish in the first five or six is to roll forward. They do that. We get the genuine speed that I think this race deserves and will need. So I think he's an important horse to be in the race. I don't think he'll be winning.
Number 22, Ocean X, was also vetted late last week, SD, at a big price.
Yeah, she was. I thought she had a really good gallop out in the Moonee Valley Cup, which was good. She's got a little change in her shoeing. Listening to Michael Kent Jr., that's okay. She trotted up sound. Her piece of work early doors was great. She's a fluker's hope. She'll run along on speed from gate 17. She'll be another one of those horses that can whiz across, get across, and enjoy a nice little gallop.
Got pretty excited. I skipped over Tiger Moth.
There's always
a worry
with getting numbers over 20, I reckon you have trouble with.
I thought we were going to say
number 21, Tiger Moth. Let's go back to Tiger Moth.
I was going with you, Randy.
Massive raps. Hasn't raced a lot, though.
Well, Julesy, all I've got to say is I find this really fascinating for a horse that's had four gallops that can win a maiden and a Group 3, and he gets the weight he does and gets a run in the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, it's probably the game's changed so much, hasn't it, in the last 4 or 5 years. Cross Canter won it at his 9th start. I think Rekindling won it at his 10th start. To your point in terms of the weight that he gets, SD, and it's hard to explain probably for the punters out there, but he had 50 kilos off that maiden win, and obviously 50 kilos wasn't going to get him into the race. So then he has to obviously go to a group race and then try and win it. And then from winning that, then obviously Greg Carpenter has to give him a weight that he thinks, you know, either he can be competitive into the race. Mm. He decided to win a Group 3 race in France and he gets 2.5 kilos penalty. Now, whether you think 2.5 kilos is too much or whatever you think about that, at the end of the day, it's a moot point. He's into the race. I will say, though, that 2.5 is a big weight to get for winning the Group 3 race that he did win. He was $1.85 in that race.
What does it rate Group 3 to here?
And that's the tricky thing, is that you've got to be able to think. But giving 2.5 kilos to a horse like that, that would suggest that it might have been a Group 1, I think you're thinking of, because
he's second to Santiago prior to that too, his stacks up, which gives him a little bit more cred.
And that's the key. He was probably 50 kilos, but he couldn't give him any more because he ran second in that that race you speak of, that Santiago won, that Group 1. He probably deserved maybe 50.5 to begin with. Mm. And then obviously maybe that was in the back of Greg's mind that, yeah, he did have that second in the Group 1, so now I'm sort of building that on top of that win in the Group 3. I would have loved to see him with 51.5 kilos. In saying that, gate 23, I know there's been a lot of discussion over the fact, the favourite draws terribly, gate 23. I think you just have to really narrow your focus on that. And once you do your map, do you still think it's a bad barrier for this horse? My personal opinion is it's not, because I think there's a genuine speed. Kieran McAvoy is a fantastic rider of stayers, especially in this race. We saw Cross Canter win from gate 19. He'll go back. I think he'll go back. But I also think there'll be enough horses to be able to drag him into the race. Horses like Steel Prince, those kinds of horses that have drawn just inside him, I think will be able to give him a card in. I don't think gate 23 beats this horse. And to be honest, I don't think any other horse beats him.
So
I think he's the winner.
Counter was nearly 15 lengths off them at the 600-metre mark in the Melbourne Cup, where Kieran McAvoy rode him on that occasion, drew out, went back, lightweight, waited, and like he was still 10 off him as he was approaching the furlong, and he was still able to get over the top of him. Watch for that type of ride, or will he try and ride him for a little bit of luck, because a lot of those genuine 3,200-metre horses will be on his left shoulder that are riding the paint. So if there's that pressure, Kieran McAvoy's got two decisions to make from the 800. 800. If there's that pressure building from the 800 and then they're walling 5, 6, 7, which they can do in a Melbourne Cup, and there's horses that are not quite taking it, he doesn't think are going to take him into the race at a big price, he's going to look to his left shoulder and look at the paint and look at those horses like the Prince of Iran's, the Twilight Payments and Master of Reality and Vow and Declares that are going to be genuine at the furlong to get him through gaps like a Marmalo style of ride like Hugh Bowman. So it'll be a fascinating ride from Kieran McAvoy on a horse I reckon will tighten on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially across the exchange, he'll be pretty hard in the market. I think it's really important too when we see gate 23 and people go, well, obviously it's a bad barrier. It can be a bad barrier and it might get him beat. As I said, I didn't think it would. But once you do your speed map and you realise, now if there was no speed in this race and they do what they did last year and he's got to gate 23 and he's giving them 20 lengths, he ain't going to win the race. Mm. But once you do your map and you think there's going to be genuine speed, which I've done, then I think it discounts that poor gate. That's what I'm saying there with that. So I just don't think you can put all the chips in. Gate 23 means bad. Gate 1 means great all the time. It's not so much the case. You've got to work out race shape and where you're mapping your horses, I think.
I still think his biggest fear will be race smarts on a big stage in a big field like a Melbourne Cup for a horse going in, and he's just his fifth gallop for his first start at in Australia away from home. It's a massive task. It's an unbelievable task and it'll be an unbelievable training performance if Tiger Moth wins it.
23 Miami Bound. Does the good 3 to good 2 pose any issues here, sir?
Yeah, it does. All of her best form are on I suppose with a bit of sting in the track. She probably wanted a soft 5, soft 6 for her to run her best. But, gee, she was strong at the end of that gallop, Mooney Valley Cup. She was nice and powerful through the line. It's a sense of timing. Once again, for Danny O'Brien, she's not hopeless on a firm surface. And it's a sense of timing for Danny O'Brien once again. She's not hopeless in this race.
And the last one is 24 Persan, who very, very consistent every time Persan runs.
Yeah, I mean, just that camp, we know that their record, you know, 2,400 metre plus, Mar and Eustace, they sort of go at around a 25-26% sort of win strike rate. It's just outstanding. So you cannot at any stage rule a lie through them. He was extremely good winning the Bart Cummings, 1.25 seconds inside standard time. The gate worries me a little bit for this horse because I don't think he's got the better turn of foot as a horse like Tiger Moth. So he's going to be coming from a similar position. I would have loved a gate sort of 7 or 8 for this horse to be 5 or 6 lengths in front of those other horses that I think are better than him.
If he begins well, can he be there?
Well, that's probably the decision for Mickey D, isn't it? That if he can begin well, does he take the chance to try and sit on that speed? Because if he does and he can get a spot, well, he's right in the race.
I reckon he's a super roughie in this race because he's been in work since May. He's got the K's in the old-fashioned Melbourne Cup preparation. He's had five goes at Flemington for 4 wins and a minor placing. He's elite there with the 51 kilos. He can't out-sprint them. But what he can do with those K's in his legs is begin well, land on speed, and if he clocks off out of the straight the first time, he's going to be strong on speed. Yeah, I love the horse.
Yeah.
Well, that's the 24 runners that are in the Melbourne Cup as it stands right now. I hope you got some insight because that was fascinating. Another thing that I love about 3 Wide No Cover is the punter education.
Yeah, so
a nice little hat on there, haven't you?
Yeah,
it's a new hat, I see.
You've
got
a new one, yeah.
A Mason Fox Kitsune number.
Foxcatcher. This is Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher.
Good luck to the Foxcatcher. He's in a bit of strife at the moment. The international horses, trained horses. Now, whether you believe in this or not, this is just proven data since January 2017. If you backed every internationally trained horse in Australia in every race, plus 55% profit on your turnover. It is huge in terms of the numbers. Obviously, that is betting proportional staking. So it's not level staking. It's betting, you know, price-sensitive kind of data. Here are the horses that you're going to be looking at. Anthony Van Dyke, Master of Reality, Twilight Payment, Stratum Albion, Dashing Willoughby, Prince of Arran, Ashrun, and Tiger Moth. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should be backing these horses purely on that, but those numbers do scream out. It's not a slight win. These are big, big numbers. We saw it again with Ashrun on Saturday with Adria Swaller. They just have a fantastic record.
That is extraordinary. 55% profit on turnover.
Yeah. It's really, you've just got to take that somewhat across. Now, whether you can say, oh, I don't like that international, that's just the numbers. Whether you believe it or not, that's just the true numbers.
All right, we've been through the runners. We've had some education. Let's have a look at last time at the market as it stands. Tiger Moth, the favourite. Anthony Van Dyke, Surprise Baby, they both gave a good push for. So too, Sir Dragon A, very elegant. And Prince of Iran, Prince of Aaron. Russian Camelot, not hopeless. They think that's a chance. Finch, Ash Run. So pretty much most of them on the first page was positive. Master Reality, they said can win $21. Twilight Payment, $23. Per San, a big push. SD likes the old-fashioned lead-up into the Melbourne Cup. Steel Prince at a big price, $31. Miami Bound, Stratum Albion, King of Legrance, and Warning rounds at that page. And then Avilius, Vow and Declare, last year's winner. Ocean X, vetted last week. Dashing Willoughby, Mustajir, and also Etta James. That is the Melbourne Cup. That is the market. Now, the most important part of what we're here for is to give our tips, our top four, a winner. Who's going to go first?
Give it to us,
Simon.
Oh, thank you, boys. Good on you, Julesy. Too kind. Surprise Baby for me on top with the 54.5 kilos and what he carried last year. He's drawn better this year. I love his preparation. He's been aimed to peak in the Melbourne Cup. Craig Williams has been with him all preparation, and it's got a sense of timing about Surprise Baby to upset Anthony Van Dyke to run second in a Caulfield and Melbourne Cup. He's just a star stayer. He'll carry that weight, no dead weight with Hugh Bowman riding him. So 13 on top of one. I can't let go of my girlfriend, the mare. Very elegant. She's just been so trustworthy. Chris Wallace said that she's always going to run a 3,200 metre Melbourne Cup when she's seasoned and she's well. Well, she's won a Caulfield Cup leading into it, so she gets half a kilo. Seven goes in for third. And then I've got to put in Russian Camelot and also Tiger Moth because they're just outstanding young horses that have the capacity to cause the upset at their young age. So 13, 1, 7, 15, 21. And my Ruffy, Jared Roughhead, will be Per San, 24, to roll across. He loves Flemington.
Be excited to get the first four in the Melbourne Cup, wasn't it? We had a punter last year. I remember had $10, and I think the first four paid $73,000. He had $10 on it, won $793,000, but had to wait for the photo, and then obviously everything protest that happened after that, the protest. And imagine that wait. $793,000 on the end of it, and you had to wait for the protest.
Yeah, you'd lose a bit of hair, wouldn't you, Brownie?
Not me. I take hair pills. Jules.
Oh, hello.
Tax pills. I don't know where to go with that. Tiger Moth on top for me. Just think, if it's a genuine run race, which I think it will be, that's how I've mapped it, I think he's the best horse in the race. I think his profile sets up really well. I think Anthony Van Dyke will be mighty hard to beat. Yes, he's got to carry 58.5 kilos, but he's a genuine weight for age star. He is going to be in my betting strategy. Prince of Iran, he always runs well. I'll be backing him. I'll be backing Ashran as well. I think he can win, and I'll be backing Master of Reality. I'm scared of that camp, but main play are the Coolmore horses, top and sort of just about close to bottom. Tiger Moth ahead of Anthony Van Dyke.
Well, that's good for me. I'm going to be backing Surprise Baby and also Tiger Moth because I don't back anything else and then you boys tell me to. So, SD, spinning Melbourne Cup, you're out at the track, I believe.
Yes, we'll be there on track for Sportsbet with all the updated integrations and markets and all the big money moves for the Melbourne Cup in particular.
And you're in here doing some sort of like comedy humour.
Yeah, no, I'll be here for the wild show, so we'll see what happens. But I'll leave that to the actual funny people, no?
So we're going
to
be here race by race on Tuesday. It's tomorrow, obviously. Me and you taking – I'm the
around the grounds, I heard.
I'm the value hunter, I believe, trying to find some stuff just around the country.
For that, haven't they? Yeah, that'd be good.
Don't forget, races 1-4 on Cup Day 2, second or third 50 back in bonus bets. It's not a bad promo for a big day of racing.
Tell you what, I've got a lot of bonus bets thanks to Derby Day, a lot of seconds and thirds. Boys, thanks very much. Enjoy the Melbourne Cup. Hopefully, Surprise Baby, Tiger Moth wins for you guys. And I'm sure it's going to be a great day for everybody. Three Wide No Cover back on Thursday. Unfortunately, Michael Wall will be back. You won't get me hosting. Anyway, have a great Melbourne Cup day. And please gamble responsibly.